strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
See this Sharaf Ghani's appearing right now before the Congress, and just like with Nitwit, everything he says, every fucking mostly white congressman are jumping up and clapping like trained seals with a son of a bitch. When are we ever going to learn? Alexander the Great went into that pissant country, the British, Russians. Now Americans, and I'm watching all these goddamn congressmen and senators. Every time he says a word, they're jumping up. He's responsible. Don't let him shit you. He's out of the same mold as the other guy. Same damn mold. And he's saying, yesterday I heard him saying, well, thank you for sending all the money to us and all your brave troops that gave their lives over here. Fuck him. And even worse, fuck the Congress. Every one of those corrupt, stupid psychopaths in Congress. Well, that's one way to get the show going here. White Aryan Resistance Radio Calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio Calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio Calling. And this is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana on March the 25th, Wotan's Day. Gee, I thought it was Thor's Day. This week's sort of dragging along here. Got rain today. Boy, I'm thrilled about that because it's going to wash all the dirt off my van. It's been pretty dirty for quite a while, and I was hoping it was going to rain one of these days. Snow didn't get the dirt off. You know, there's a lot of dirt in snow. And so, anyhow, now it's going to be nice and clean and shiny, and I didn't even have to spend $10 at a car wash. If you're spending that kind of money on a car wash, you ought to have your head examined. Plus, in most places in the country, you're putting illegal aliens to work like mad. These car washes are full of them. And also, Negro gangbangers. Why give them a job? You don't want to give them a job. You don't want them to feel comfortable here. You want them to go someplace else. Now he's talking about you, military men.
I had an opportunity that when Senator Graham was dressed as a colonel, I asked him to salute a three-star British general, and he complied.
Ha, 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 ha.
Veterans will always be welcome in Afghanistan. Our deepest hope is that the time will come when Americans visiting our country see the cultural heritage and natural riches of the Bamyan Valley, the ancient Timurid architecture of Herat and Mazar-e Sharif, the fishing streams of Badakhshan and Tahar, the forests of Khost.
Oh, brother. You're going on and on. And just like every one of these assholes that come over here and get into Congress, at first they're all up there cheering for him. This guy will be a number one enemy down the road someplace. Or he acts very weak. I think he'll be assassinated. That's just my opinion. I don't care whether they assassinate him or not. They're all... Anytime white guys go over there and get their ass shot off and come back here, it's insane. That's why I don't support fallen heroes. Because number one, if you volunteer, you go over there to help the military-industrial complex and the corporations occupy a country, kill a hell of a lot of people, and then come back here, even if you come back here with your arms missing, your legs missing, I don't sympathize with you. I won't do it. And these programs you see 24 hours a day on wounded soldiers, your tax money is supposed to be taking care of that, even though we shouldn't even be there, shouldn't have any of these wounded warriors. And they're not heroes. They're not heroes. They're hired mercenaries, really. Going in the military, maybe to try to get a college education when they come home or something like that, and then they, of course, they don't, half the time, they don't get it. So if you're going to be stupid, just like in, you know, going out on the street and getting into gunfights with numb nut idiot people, you're going to get it. And don't expect Terrible Tommy to sympathize with you. You're not a hero. A hero is a person who comes along the road and he sees somebody in a burning car and pulls them out. That's a hero. Not being armed to the teeth with automatic weapons and bombers and drones in a country where you're not even supposed to be killing people. Okay? I hope you understand that. Another thing I wanted to mention to you, too, is that some people are getting smarter all the time. Most people are getting dumber all the time. I keep pushing low-tech to you. At certain times, you may need to use low-tech. And right now, I'm pushing the U.S. mails. You got it. Send your information to people by letter. Of course, you're not going to be planning some kind of crazy-ass illegal activity in the mail. But I recommend, and when at all possible, use the regular mails. It's more secure than email and so forth. And for just normal, just quickie notes, buy a handful of postcard, U.S. postcard, postal cards. When I was a kid, they were 10 cents a piece. Now I think they're about 50 cents a piece. But have a handful of those. If you got a thought you want to pass along to somebody and it's not something that's going to land you in a prison, jot it down and throw it in a mailbox. Don't even use email. I mean, I can't get away without using some email, but I think we should fall back on low-tech. The U.S. Post Office. I love them. Don't let them privatize that post office. Don't ever let them privatize it. You'll wish you hadn't. Well, my friend Stray Dog sent me a message this morning about the respect and for the Japanese kamikazes and what it took to crawl into one of those kamikaze planes and get the job done. And he wants me to play a song here dedicated to those people. And you should know by now that Japan was pushed into that war. Then they had some overzealous military guys, unfortunately, get into this deal where they went after Pearl Harbor. But France, England, United States pushed Japan so far back from getting their oil that they struck out and figured they had nothing better to do. I really enjoyed my trips, two trips to Japan. Met a lot of nice people. I have a lot of respect for the Japanese culture. And so here is the song. Okay, there you go, Stray Dog, and tribute to the kamikazes of World War II that talk about balls. Oh, jeez. Wow. Anyhow, when I was in Tokyo, I was escorted to the main Shinto temple downtown and visited the temple, went in, looked around, did all that stuff, and even was given a rite of passage by the Shinto priest. And then I was presented with one of these little flowers. I forget the name of the flower now. But it's a pin. The Japanese have gone all through the islands and they found all these Japanese aircraft that were down during World War II, and they've taken the metal and melted them down and made these little patriotic flowers, which I believe is the national flower. I forget what the name of the flower was, though. And so they presented me with one of those pins, which I have. So anyhow, there you go. Our ultimate shame is dropping the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was totally uncalled for and criminal. Harry Truman was the man that the Ku Klux Klan wouldn't even let join their outfit in Kansas City. he was that bad. Well, would you like some more good news, boys and girls? That's all the way you look at things. Okay. Washington, D.C. Judicial Watch today released 76 pages of Department of Homeland Security documents revealing that as of April 26, 2014, Immigration and Customs Enforcement had released, get it? Are you sitting down? 165,900 convicted criminal aliens throughout the United States. Release them, including many convicted of such violent crimes as homicide, that's murder, sexual assault, kidnapping, and aggravated assault. Reports recently detailed that ICE released another 30,000 in the most recent fiscal year, which brings the grand total of known criminals released by the Obama administration to 195,900. Well, the Republicans do the same thing. You know, this partially this is Republican propaganda, but I'm assuming it's true, but they always try to load it off just on Obama. It takes all those congressmen up there, all of those right-wingers and all those neocons to get stuff like this done. Any and all records of communications, including but not limited to emails and memoranda to and from personnel in the Office of Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, including its component offices such as the Office of Public Affairs, from May 1st to May 15, 2014, concerning, regarding, or relating to the report published by the Center for Immigration Studies concerning the release of 36,000 criminal aliens. The ICE documents confirmed a May 2014 Center Immigration Studies report showing that in 2013, ICE freed 36,000 convicted criminal aliens who had nearly 88,000 convictions, including 193 murder convictions, 426 sexual assault convictions, and 303 kidnapping convictions. They're not only not excluding them and pushing them out of the country and deporting them, they're releasing them on the streets. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight. Yeah, these guys are forming their gangs up all over the place. Well, there's quite a bit more to that story, but you got the basic of it. They call it the worst prison break in American history. Yeah, right. The Department of Homeland Security brags of arresting 5% of the criminal aliens it freed from detention on the heels of releasing 36,000 criminal aliens from detention. The Department of Homeland Security has the audacity to pat itself on the back for arresting a tiny fraction of these illegal, they're not immigrants, they call them illegal immigrants, illegal invader bastards. Let's see what else we got here. On Friday, March 20th, 2015, B. Todd Jones, the director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, announced his resignation. Mr. Jones' departure comes on the heels of a disastrous attempt by the ATF to ban a common rifle ammunition, yet another federal sub rosa effort at gun control through governmental constriction of the ammunition supply. The real news is Mr. Jones' replacement, although you would not know that from any mainstream reporting. The announcing new acting director is the current deputy director, Thomas Brandon, a man with an apparent secret history at the ATF. In news dispatches of March 20th, Mr. Brandon is described blandly by the AP, CNN, and ABC as a 26-year veteran of the agency who was appointed deputy director in 2011. This gives the impression of an earnest, knowledgeable, hard-working civil service, doesn't it? Perhaps all the professional reporters are too pressed for time these days to perform a basic Google search. Or perhaps not a single so-called journalist has the brain capacity to remember a shameful, deadly national disaster called Fast and Furious. In that government-operated illegal gun-running scheme, thousands of guns were allowed to be straw-purchased in the U.S. and transported to Mexico for sale to drug cartels so the feds could track them. Rather than tracking the guns, however, the feds lost them. Just like they lost that $1 billion in cash. Was it a billion or several billion in cash that was transported over to Iraq, set in a parking lot, and it disappeared? Yeah, that's the kind of people you got in your government. That gross incompetence cost the lives of U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, ICE agent Jamie Zapata, and an untold number of Mexicans who were murdered with these unlawful trafficking firearms. For those of us who do not live in the memory hole that shields this administration from any accountability, here are some relevant facts about acting director Brandon and his involvement in the Fast and Furious. According to outgoing director Jones' sworn testimony of April 2, 2014, before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Mr. Brandon was the person who determined disciplinary punishments for all the ATF personnel involved in Fast and Furious. Brandon was the ultimate decision maker. Director Jones confirmed that Thomas Brandon did not fire a single person for participation in Fast and Furious. The 471-page Justice Department Inspector General report by Michael F. Horowitz recommended disciplinary action to be considered for 14 federal officials. Let's examine what happened to just a few key ATF players. Those are the guys that came barging into my house, you know. Special Agent William Newell was the agent in charge of Fast and Furious. The IG report specifically recommended his termination. Per an August 17, 2011 ATF press release, Mr. Newell was initially reassigned to the Office of Management to assist with the OIG investigation and congressional inquiry. Fox in the chicken house. Director Jones confirmed in his testimony on April 2nd that although the ATF Professional Review Board also recommended Newell's firing, Mr. Brandon saw fit to impose a far lighter penalty. Mr. Newell was only demoted from senior executive service to a GS-13 grade pursuant to a settlement. Director Jones had confirmed during the testimony that the PRB recommended a 14-day suspension. 14 days for lead case agent Hope McAllister. Deputy Director Brandon issued her only a letter of reprimand. David Voth was the Phoenix Group supervisor during Fast and Furious. Per the August 17, 2011 ATF press release, Mr. Voth was transferred laterally to the ATF headquarters in 2011. The PRB recommended a demotion to a non-supervisorial special agent status. In the settlement, Mr. Brandon issued a simple demotion. Anyhow, I'm not going to go on with this because you know what's going on here. You know what's going on here. They're all rats. They're criminals with a badge. And the higher up you go, the worse they get. And I mean, I'm talking, it's like we have a whole cadre of Manchurian candidates all throughout these governments, not only the national government, the federal government, but the states too. In every area, it's almost like they might have shipped 10,000 Manchurian candidates in, because they can't possibly just be making mistakes. This is all planned. It's all planned. I knew the minute that Homeland Security was created that it would be used as a false flag operation and would never solve the problems that it was supposed to do. Because we had all the agencies around that were supposed to be working on that stuff. They didn't need Homeland Security. billions of dollars have been siphoned off of tax money and went down a rat hole all over the United States under Homeland Security.
That the Afghan Army's professionalism and morale meet all of a military man's expectations. Thanks to our army, we will negotiate with the Taliban from a position of strength, not weakness, so that the hard fought gains in education, health, government, media.
Well, he's still talking. He's still talking, both sitting those congressmen, and the congressmen know it. And all this high platitudes of women's rights and all that kind of crap. Forget it. Now he says he's going to deal with the Taliban. Well, the Taliban are going to take over again, and you're right back where you started. Oh, shit. What a zoo. You know, almost nobody reads the newspapers. I don't read them as much as I read them, but I scour over them pretty quickly. But the Wall Street Journal put out an ad which pretty well sums it up. If you want to get guys to read a newspaper, you got to get a beautiful broad and make a dress out of newspapers. And then you'll get them to read the newspaper. Yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, they had a big story about the spying of Israel on the United States. I can't figure out why they would need to spy. We've given them everything, and these congressmen leak them everything, and everybody gives them whatever they want. Why would Israel need to spy? Incidentally, this clown from Afghanistan saying that 36% of the Afghani people live under the poverty line. Well, you know what that means. More foreign aid, American worker. More foreign aid. Oh, they're on their feet again, clapping. You know, they could do this with goddamn, you know, Disneyland had those movable automated people of history and Lincoln and stuff like that. They ought to just replace all those assholes with those kind of things that would just stand up and clap, sit down, stand up and clap, sit down, stand up and clap, sit down. You know the old story, which come first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I was thinking about that and thought I should share some of that thinking with you. Now, they try to make it look like everything bad came out of slavery and rolled downhill. But you got to understand that the reason for slavery first was mercantilism, or the forerunner to capitalism. And that's when the big thing got started with sugar and cotton, and they wanted slaves. So for those who think that blacks are equal, they were the easiest to enslave. Doesn't speak much for their equality. Whites have been enslaved in Europe under these bad systems for a long time too, way back. But they got out from under it, sort of. Nobody's out from under slavery, certain forms of slavery. So anyhow, they said, we have mass production. We've got to have mass production of sugar, which is a poison. And then we got to have mass production for the cotton. And why not enslave blacks? They're the easiest to enslave, and they do pretty well under slavery. So the next time somebody says, well, you evil white people, you created slavery. No, there were white people involved, but they were the capitalists of their day. Greed and capitalism are the basis for just about all the major problems, along with its twin sister, religion, on the continent. Without predatory capitalism, with some more reasonable way of developing economics, and without this religious albatross around our neck, or at least this Abrahamic albatross around our neck, things would be so much better. But don't look for that to happen very soon. Well, I see that Afghan bastards finally quit talking, and the idiots in the Congress quit clapping. They're all glad-handing now and going down to the local bar and take the leader of Afghanistan down to the local whorehouse and take care of him. Getting him one of those white babes. Going to get him a white babe. For decades, I've been telling you that if you want to take care of the problem of overtaxation or whatever it may be, first thing you do is go across the street from the state house or the federal building in Washington, build a giant bar and whorehouse with every amenity you want, whatever any would want, the homosexuals, the all of them in there, hey, you know, different parts of the building, and the biggest bar in the country, and give them free booze, all of that kind of stuff. Give them a credit card that they could run up. They don't even have to use credit. Be all free. Keep them over in that whorehouse all the time. And the American public would be better off without anybody sitting in the congressional halls, without all those congressmen's offices being empty. Get them out of there. Keep them out of there. And you're going to find out you can do quite well without them, and you'll have a hell of a lot more money in your pocket. I've been preaching that for years. Now that Afghan guy has quit speaking, now they're going to show his picture all afternoon and all week interpreting what he meant. It'll be on every channel, and all the prognosticators right and left are going to be on there saying, well, you can tell by what he said, this is what he said, and this is what he meant, and everybody will say, oh, that's bullshit, this is what he meant, this is what he said. Well, the Israeli press are going crazy this morning. The next crisis. United States might limit aid to Israel by amount it spends on settlements. The State Department might be attempting to limit the loan guarantees Israel receives from the United States based on Israel's expenditures on the West Bank settlements, according to the Israeli media report published on Tuesday. Well, cut off all the aid to everybody. Oh, you won't do that because you know why you give them aid, so they can use those same phony bucks to buy weapons from the arms manufacturers in the United States, and so they make lots of money. Didn't you know that's how foreign aid work? Yeah, we loan them all kinds of money. Almost none of that money goes to the people. And the poor people get nothing. Well, they use that money as credit to buy weapons in this country, which puts the money right back in the pockets of the arms manufacturers in the United States. It's the biggest con job on the planet. You thought all that money left the country for good. It circles right back around. Oh, man. Oh. Here's an interesting piece of bit of stuff. Switzerland comes to the aid of Hamas in Gaza. Going to pay the salaries to Gaza operatives. Now, what the hell does Switzerland have to do with taking the money from their people and giving it to Hamas? I mean, give me a break. For those of you who think that race treason just got started, or maybe it's only 50 years old, well, during the Civil War, Colonel Jennison down in Kansas is going further than all his military precursors, having made a speech to his troops in which, among other things, he urged, now this is from a white man, to the soldiers, quote, no hesitation regarding the rebels and the man who sympathizes with them. I declared to General Fremont that I would not have taken up arms had I believed slavery would survive this war. Slaves who belong to the rebels keep taking refuge in our camp, and we shall defend them to our last fighter, in other words, to the last soldier, and to the last bullet. I want no men who are not abolitionists. Yeah, but these abolitionists didn't say, well, how they would solve the problem after the war, did they? Moving them back to Africa or anything like that. I go on. I have no place for them. I hope there are no such people among us, since everyone knows that the question of slavery lies at the root of this accursed war. No, it was capitalism. Slavery was just a part of it, just like tractors and mules, that it constitutes its essence and idea. And if the government does not approve of my course, then it can revoke the commission it gave me. But if this happens, I shall go ahead on my own hook, even though I have only half a dozen men all to begin with. It's out of the Karl Marx in the Civil War. There's a lot more goodies in there, I'll tell you. Yeah, well, you could not free the slaves without running them out of the country. Otherwise, the problem becomes even worse, which it did. It still is now. It's getting, of course, it's worse. Without the means and money in place to move them out of continental United States, North America, after the Civil War, the war just meant the deaths of, you know, what, 500,000 white troops to free these bastards? Huh. Give me a break. We're white separatists. We want them separated. And, of course, at the time of the Civil War, soldiers, working class soldiers, should have rounded these blacks up, put them on the ships, and sent them out to sea. That's what's caused... they didn't, and that's what's caused our problems to be almost insoluble. Unless there's a civil war and it's taken care of. Does that mean I hate blacks? No, not particularly. Except, in general, what they're doing to the white race because of their presence. Well, alas, I found my little book... A World Without Jews by Karl Marx. Now, you can probably download this. We might even have it up there on our website. I'm not sure. Let me lift this quote out of here. It sounds interesting. How does Bauer solve the Jewish question? His formulation of the question itself contains his solution. An analysis of the Jewish question provides the answer to it. His analysis can be summarized as follows. We must emancipate ourselves before we can emancipate others. The stiffest form of opposition between the Jew and the Christian is religious. How is it to be resolved? By making it impossible. How can this be achieved? By abolishing religion. As soon as Jew and Christian recognize their respective religions as different stages in the evolution of human spirit, as successive snakeskins shed by history, man being the snake that bore them all, they will no longer stand in a religious relationship to each other, but in a critical, scientific, human relationship. Science is their ground of unity, and contradictions in science are resolved by science itself. Sounds pretty decent to me. Karl Marx. You know, it's my opinion that the capitalist system was created mostly by Jews, by the Jews. It's a capitalist, the predatory capitalism is a product of Judaism. That's what I think. Think about it. They admit as such in their Talmud. Look it up. You know, there was a bill proposed to the United States government years ago, quite a ways back, by the Joint Council for Repatriation. And it's a good bill. It could probably be used today. I'm going to read it to you. Being enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, Section 1, it is declared to be the policy of the Congress, A, to avoid further racial friction and prospect of unimaginable bloodshed in the United States. B, to allow both Negro and whites the sacred right of self-development, equally free from alien influence, to provide for the expeditious transportation and resettlement of American-born Negroes in their ancestral motherland of Africa. D, to proved adequate economic aid for repatriation, pioneers and migrants by establishment of a distribution system of the American surplus manufactured and food goods. E, to use American products, services, and transportations and labor exclusively in the carrying out of the provisions of this act, except when the reliance upon same would delay the attainment of the purpose of this act. Section 2, this act shall be known as the Freedom Law. Section 3, all American citizens of 18 years or more and being 1/8 or more of pure Negro descent by race are declared eligible to attain status of repatriation. 4, all eligible citizens desiring to attain the status of repatriate shall fill out and sign an application form giving the following information: A, name, address, telephone number, social security number, marital status, and dependents; B, affirmation of irrevocable intention to attain the status of repatriation and immigrate to Africa under the terms of the Freedom Law; C, two photographic likenesses of passport size; D, list of all personal property the repatriate desires to have transported to Africa. Such personal property must be free of lien. E, list of all real property and encumbrances thereon. F, estimated value at market price of the real property. Section 5, the President shall cause and to be created Repatriation Commission, herein referred to as the Commission, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint a chief whose term of office shall be more than 2 years and who shall receive the compensation of $30,000 per annum. The chief shall employ such assistants as may be required to expeditiously carry out the purposes of the Freedom Law. The commission shall A, prepare suitable application forms and distribute them to every post office in sufficient quantities and assist applicants in the completion of these forms. B, establish an approval board with as many local units as possible for expeditious handling and approval and rejection of applicants. No decision on an applicant shall be delayed more than 30 days from the date of filing of an application. C, prepare suitable areas in Africa to receive repatriates. Repatriates may construct or otherwise acquire their own dwellings, and temporary housing may be erected by the commission to be occupied by repatriates at minimum rent. The President is hereby authorized and directed to enter into negotiations with African nations to receive repatriates from the United States. Resettlement areas may be acquired by purchase or negotiation. If necessary, in which case title to the areas will be given to a stock corporation and the stock sold to repatriates. D, arrange for transportation for repatriates, dependents, and personal property at government expense from any point in the United States to the resettlement area. E, declare each repatriate resettled upon termination of transportation and settlement in a dwelling. The date of resettlement shall be marked in an identification and receipt book provided by the commission. F, pay each applicant the sum of $100 cash upon approval of application by the approval board. The sum is an advance on certificate payments to follow after resettlement. It is to be repaid by 20 monthly deductions of $5 each for the first 20 months, payable in certificates of that amount. Acceptance of the advance constitutes confirmation of the status of repatriate. G, purchase all real property at the prevailing market value plus 10%, with payment made to certificates on the date of resettlement. H, assure speedy repatriation of all repatriates. The initial movement of every repatriate shall be commenced within 1 year of the date of confirmation of status of the repatriate, as defined in paragraph F above, but no sooner than 30 days from that date. I, establish subsidiary offices in Africa for the expeditious settling of repatriates. The establishment of wholesale and retail stores and payment depots for issuance of certificates. Sell products through its offices at the wholesale and retail prices for certificates at the same price in certificates as that prevailing in dollars within the continental limits of the United States, plus freight. But said retail outlets shall not compete with stores established by repatriates under underselling products. Nor shall the Commission hinder or restrict the free establishment of businesses to serve the purposes of the Freedom Act, nor establish enterprises in competition with private enterprise. K. Make necessary arrangements to issue dollar certificates in this Act referred to as certificates, which are to be redeemable within 1 year after the date of issue in the American manufactured and produced goods and foodstuffs as procured according to paragraph 1 below, which are valid only in resettlement areas of Africa. L. Make necessary arrangements with the Secretary of Treasury to redeem said certificates in dollars for the purchase of American products by the repatriates. M. Issue to every repatriate the sum of $1,000 in certificates per year in equal and nearly equal monthly installments for the balance of the life of the repatriate. Payment is to be made upon monthly application by the repatriate on or after his or her date of resettlement as defined in paragraph E. Above certificates will be dated and the date of resettlement, and it shall be noted thereon that the expiration date is 1 year in advance. Payment shall begin immediately upon resettlement. If the date of the resettlement in any month falls on a Sunday, the previous Saturday will be the date of issue for the calendar month. And if there is no date in any calendar month which corresponds to the date of resettlement, then the last day of the month shall be the date of the issue of certificates. N. Resettle Negro waifs and orphans in orphanages in Africa until said children reach the age of 18 years old, at which time they shall assume the status of a repatriate and shall receive the sum of $1,000 in certificates each year for the balance of their lives. Section 6. For the purpose of this Act, authorities of the United States shall not require repatriates to hold passports. 7. For the purpose of the Act, there is hereby authorized and appropriated the sum of $750 million for the current fiscal year. 8. This Act shall take effect immediately upon its enactment, and the authority conferred by it shall expire 20 years after its date of enactment, except where otherwise stated. And that was from the Freedom Law, probably 100 years ago, close to 100 years ago. Just think if that would have been enacted and had been carried out. What a different country we'd have today, and what a different life blacks would have had in Africa. They could have built themselves a black empire over there. Well, that could be passed today. Of course, obviously, it won't be, because they'd rather have a civil war than straighten the problem out. It's either that or pack it in, white people. It's either a nationwide uprising of some type or pack it in. Yep, that's the way it goes. And that's from White America by Ernest Xavier Cox. And I think we've got that up there on the website. It's a great book, and he was a great man. Here's a page off the back of the book, White America. America's and the world's greatest problem is that of race. There's nothing unique about this, because the problems created by racial contact are as old as humanity. Indeed, some would say as old as life itself. Most persons are convinced that the problem is insoluble, or, if soluble, in some never-defined mystical fashion. Actually, the problem in America is unique in one way, not in the nature of the problem itself, but in its potential for solution. This has never been true in any civilization which has gone before. Today, thanks to the development of Western science and the knowledge of history, the problem can be comprehended in its full significance. And what is that significance? A race problem is never legal, economic, religious, or even social problem, so much as it is a biological and a political problem. Few writers on race care to recognize this truth, and until just recently, few readers could learn enough about it to resent the incredible prevarications and ignorance mongering of supposedly reliable authorities. The republication of Ernest Xavier Cox's White America after more than 40 years is not only a testimony to the greater attention and responsibility and thinking people are giving to the world's greatest problem, but also a validation of the author's original contentions and approach. White America has been a rare and an unobtainable book. And this was put out by Noontide Press, and I give Willis Cardo credit for republishing White America. When a guy does something good, I'm going to say it. When they do something bad or non-logical, I'll say that too. I purchased that book way back in the 60s, and I put a lot of them out to people, sent a lot of them around. Yep. Believe me, it's soluble. It's still soluble. And the white race is still here. We just have to get our mind right, you know? We have to get our mind right and do what has to be done. I don't have time today, but maybe tomorrow I'll read you the editor's introduction to this book, White America. It's really good. It's really good.
Over town, starlight by the edge of the creek. The buying power of the proletariat's gone down. Money's getting shallow and weak. Well, the place I love best is a sweet memory. It's a new path that we trod. They say low wages are reality if we want to compete abroad. My cruel weapons have been put on the shelf. Come sit down on my knees. You are dearer to me than myself, as you yourself can see. While I'm listening to the steel rails hum, got both eyes tight shut. Just sitting here trying to keep the hunger from creeping its way into my gut. Meet me at the bottom, don't lag behind. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working band blues. Well, I'm sailing on back, ready for the long haul, tossed by the winds and the sea. I'll drag them all down to hell and I'll stand them at the wall. I'll sell them to an enemy. I'ma try to feed my soul with thought. Gonna sleep off the rest of the day. Sometimes no one wants what they've got. Sometimes you can't give it away. Now the place is ringed with countless fools. Some of them may be deaf and dumb. Man, no woman knows the hour that soul will come. In the dark I hear the nightbirds call. I can feel the lover's breath. I sleep in the kitchen with my feet in the hall. Sleep is like a temporary death. Meet me at the bottom, no lag behind. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working band blues. Well, they burned my barn and they stole my horse. I can't save a dime. I got to be careful. I don't want to be forced into a right now. Am I wrong in thinking that you have forgotten me? Now they worry and they hurry and they fuss and they fret. They waste your nights and days. Them I will forget, but you will remember always. Old memories of you to me have clung. You molded me with your words. Gonna have to straighten out your tongue. It's all true, everything you've heard. Meet me at the bottom, don't lag behind. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working bands. I find no blame. Wanna look in my eyes, please do. No one can ever claim that I took up arms against you. All across the peaceful sacred fields, they will lay you low. They'll break your horns and slash you with steel. I say it so, it must be so. Now I'm down on my luck. I'm black and blue, gonna give you another chance. I'm all alone, I'm expecting you to lead me off in a cheerful dance. I got a brand new suit and a brand new wife. I can live on rice and beans. Some people never work a day in their life. Don't know what work even means. Well, meet me at the bottom, don't lag. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working band blues.
Working Man Blues. How about that? I'll be back with you tomorrow with some more stuff. Did I offend you today? Did I offend you reading from Karl Marx? Oh, then you still got a foot left in the right wing. The right wing, boy. Okay. 14-5, and no matter what they ask you, don't talk.